Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Coach's Corner. I'm Coach Andrew Poritz from Ingenuity Coaching. I help people discover and fulfill their passions and greatness. My mission, to inspire and challenge you to dream big dreams, and with my coaching, help you to manifest those dreams into reality. You can visit my website at www.myfuturecoach.com and follow me on Twitter at Coach Andrew. If you're listening live and you have a question, the phone number here is 646-929-2893. If you call in, you'll be able to listen to the show on the phone, and if you press the number 1, I'll know you have a question. We also have a live chat room right on the show page where you can feel free to join in and post questions. My guest tonight, Kathleen Day, is a personal organization educator, coach, and consultant. She specializes in eliminating overwhelm and chaos from life. Through the medium of various educational webinars, programs, private coaching, and on-site options, she teaches that organizations can, in fact, be learned. Individuals, entrepreneurs, busy moms, and those who just plain old lost their mojo experience major benefits through her unique yet common sense curriculum. If you have the commitment, she has the tools. You can learn more about Kathleen Day at lifesmithu.com. lifesmithu.com. Kathleen, are you with us?
Hi, Andrew. Yes, I'm here.
Excellent. I'm really glad to see you, here on the radio.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm really thrilled to be here. Very exciting.
So where are you calling in from tonight?
I'm in the Catskill Mountains.
The Catskill Mountains, are they? When I think of the Catskills, I think of old-time comedians.
Oh, I know. It used to be a thriving industry here. It's kind of reduced, but still a beautiful country.
Oh, that's great. So, it's very good to hear somebody who teaches things like how to deal with overwhelm and chaos and organization, because it's certainly an area that I could use work in myself.
It's been a blossoming industry for a couple of decades now. As the 21st century has encroached with all the massive ways, not just like the incredible amounts of information that's available.
Mm-hmm.
The channels that has to get to us. It's like you can't turn off your access. We're exposed to about 20,000 messages a day, whether they're on the computer, the television, the radio, magazines, newspapers. We're bombarded with information, and a lot of that has that shiny bauble effect. So people are trying to just deal with their lives, and the way I talk about it is we haven't quite evolved to figure out what to ignore.
Mm-hmm.
We're still trying to not just embrace everything, but bring our sense of perfection to stuff. So it gets overwhelming. I mean, there's just no way out of it unless you can start to hit the pause button. So that's where I come in.
Did you find that people tend to be more reactive when it comes to messaging that comes in, all these things that happen?
Here's what I think. I think it just has become part of life.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it's so part of life, it's so transparent that it's almost like you don't notice it, you just take it for granted, but that doesn't mean that it isn't having an impact.
Well, by reactive, I mean, you know, where I know that if I get an email, I'm getting better at it, but I've long felt like, oh, I have an email, I have to respond. It's like I have a phone call, I have to respond. I'm getting a text, I have to respond. So I'm reacting to this thing is going off and talking to me and controlling me.
Yes. Yeah. And I think until you start to feel the pain of that,
mm-hmm.
how that is really taking you away from areas that are important to you, areas that started out on your to-do list that day. When you get really connected to the impact and pain, that letting that distraction pull you in has on your life, then you could start to say, okay, I'm going to make a few changes around here. But you have to notice it to begin with. And again, that's where my philosophies and strategies and curriculum, I think, is actually different than a lot of the mainstream systems out there for getting organized.
I definitely want to say how so, but before I get to how so, I wanted to get an idea of, like, how did you get to this place? What brought you into this industry?
I like to tell this story. It's a talent. It's definitely a talent. When I was in, I can't remember if it was the first grade or the second grade, but somewhere in there, I decided to create a 48-hour schedule for child care and household maintenance for my mother.
Mm-hmm.
I have an eye for it. And I'm sure she never instituted a single suggestion, but it really hasn't stopped me. I want to make life easier. I want to eliminate the learning curves. I want to reduce the chaos. I want to transform people's relationship to the enormity of what there is to get done.
Mm-hmm.
It's been the undercurrent of every position that I've held in life. Whether really it was in the job description or not, I started out in Wall Street, part of one of the largest databases, financial instrument databases in the world at that time.
Mm-hmm.
Just helped to develop that. So user interface, how do you take all the information, simplify it, create the type of screen where people can both do data entry and the big muckety-mucks can come in and press a few buttons and get what they need. I was a sales and design trainer for a major closet company for about 8 years and went in and rewrote their training manual for their field designers because there was a complexity to it and a lot of missing pieces that I saw. So I literally cut their learning curve in half.
Wow.
Kitchen designer, event management, private clients, and private clients I work with everything from clutter to house staging to I work with small business owners,
mm-hmm.
my favorite field, people who are really out to not just earn a living but make a difference in the world. So
mm-hmm.
I work with to create strategies and structures for productivity.
Well, that sounds fabulous.
Yeah.
And now I want to get to the how so. Like, how so? What is it that you say differentiates you from what you say is out there?
Yeah, well, most mainstream systems start with the notion that if you have, let me rephrase that, most mainstream philosophies and strategies start with the premise that if you've got the proper system, like if you've got a good filing system,
mm-hmm.
your personal organization is going to be improved. I don't start there. I start with, how do you think about systems?
You mean how does the individual person think about it?
Yeah, what's mm-hmm. your approach? What's your mindset?
Right.
What has you not do it, mostly? That's really when I get into if it's psychological at all, I start with, how come you're not doing what you're not getting done? Because what we don't get done is where the chief complaints are. You don't really hear people complaining about, oh, I played too many video games, except in relationship to what it had them not get done.
Mm.
So I work with people in a couple of ways. The one thing is, I'm old-fashioned, and I'm really out to have the planet return to a particular kind of sensibility, which is having time on your hands so that you can be with people, so that you can be patient, so that you can be kind, so that you can pay attention to details,
mm-hmm.
stop and smell the roses, so to speak. So I start out with the notion that our lives started out with what I call the boring ratio, when what we had to do was not equal to the amount of time we had to do. We had all this time left over. We were bored. Remember
mm-hmm.
that? It's actually a goal of mine to be bored someday.
Wow.
Yeah. Then life kind of moves into this ratio of what there is to do, pretty much fills up the day, but it's a nice balance. And by balance, I don't mean, by balance, I do mean not equal amounts of things, but really a appropriate blend, of a satisfying blend of all areas of life. That's what I mean by balance.
Mm-hmm.
So at a certain point in our lives, and for various people, it lasted various amounts of time, but there was what I called a one-to-one ratio, where what there was to get done was able to be done in the amount of time we had.
Mm.
There were moments of boredom and moments of pressure and overwhelm, but for the most part, we had time. Then there's this influx of information, channels of how it can get to us, you know, what I'm talking about, whether it be Facebook, tweets, IMs, everything,
mm-hmm.
all Skype, every different way, television, radio, internet, all the different ways that information can access us, and more demands, more work, more activities, more shiny baubles,
mm-hmm.
and it has become what I call the 21st century ratio, where
okay.
our to-do lists are much larger than they can never fit into the 24 hours in a day, this 168
right.
hours in a week. So I just start from there and have people begin to hit the pause button, get off the automatic decision-making process.
Mm-hmm.
Add some layers of maintenance, which is what I call the nirvana of personal organization, is simply putting stuff back where it belongs, tending to the small stuff, managing the things that are important on a regular, ongoing basis, instead of what I call dragging out the heavy equipment and powering through the rubble, which is
right.
an illusion of fresh start, which is unsustainable because we don't have maintenance habits.
Mm-hmm.
So the core of my work is to teach people to hit the pause button, return to a certain sensibility of enjoyment in life, appreciation in life, being with other people in life, get off autopilot, start to add maintenance habits, like eliminate the counterproductive habits and add the productive habits, and it just gets better from there.
So tell me a little bit about what you mean by the two things, the pause button and autopilot.
Okay, the pause button is people are on a hamster wheel of doing.
Mm-hmm.
Constantly that carrot that's out in front keeps them pursuing and in action. Like, I got to get this done, I got to get that done. And ironically, all the things that we don't do because we don't have time
mm-hmm.
actually propel us further and more deeply into the point of view that we now can't get more done because we have more to do. Does that make sense?
Yeah, you're making me think of like a Mobius strip, like this thing that just keeps on growing onto itself, and it's always back at the beginning never ends and the end never begins.
Yeah, because there's always more to do, and we think we're saving time.
Mm-hmm.
So here's a practical example of it. You don't do the dishes because you don't have time.
Right.
You have to go. You have to run out of the house. You can't do the breakfast dishes. You can't even put
mm-hmm.
them in the dishwasher. And then you come home and something happens with the kids or the cat's sick or something, and you can't do it again. And,
mm-hmm.
and then you know, but as you scan your environment, everything that's undone is actually having a negative impact on you. It's taking some of your energy.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying something negative about yourself to yourself.
Right.
And if you take an example like that and look at all the little pockets of incompletion that we have going on because we've been saying, I don't have time. By the way,
mm-hmm.
in the spirit of trying to save time, so I'm not going to do this because I need to save time to do what? That's where it gets very gray.
Mm.
But we end up with a lot of undone things around us. which leaves us with a mood of no time, because it's not like you're saying, I don't have time to do the dishes. For a lot of people, as they look out in life, they're saying, I don't have time for anything.
I know, excuse me, I know a lot of people like that who they always are in that state of, I don't have time for anything I can think of outside of their going to work and going home and doing their you know, yeah, the hamster wheel is certainly a good.
Yeah, so here's, in my courses, which last anywhere from 6 to 12 weeks, and I can't do it in a day. Like, I probably could construct, do the content in a couple of consecutive days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the difference is, again, between me and mainstream philosophies, is I have people participate in the class over 6, 8, 10, 12 weeks, and hopefully they'll stay with me for a series like 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
But because it takes time, that you bring decades of counterproductive habits.
Right.
Of entrenched ways, you know, you're convinced that you don't have time, and it keeps you pursuing things in a particular way, stepping over stuff so that you're in a constant state of not complete, constant state of there's still too much to do. Here's what I mean by the pause button. You can train yourself to hit the pause button, stop, reflect, look at what you've gotten done, what you haven't gotten done. It's like the sensibility that's missing is an evaluative view, like a qualitative view of what you're actually getting done. Is it the most important thing?
Mm-hmm.
Is it what really gives you a feeling of happiness, of satisfaction? Because again, a lot of people in this modality of the hamster wheel are not satisfied. They're catching up. So
mm-hmm.
that really puts a lid on satisfaction. It's never enough. So if you can hit the pause button, stop and reflect, it actually helps. For a lot of people, that seems completely counterintuitive. It's crazy talk. Stop.
Right.
You gotta be kidding me.
I'm thinking about finding the time to take your workshop. Isn't that kind of a conundrum?
Oh well, you know, believe me, it's a conundrum for me, because the people who I can be the most benefit to are the people who, feel like they don't have time for it, or B, they're resigned about it.
Right.
You know, I can't change. Which is why I include as part of my self-description, it can be learned. I mean, my people who take the class, they're not any different than anybody who might be listening to this. They've got all the entire spectrum. I've had people who I have people in the class do an exercise that I call "Do the Math." So we look at 168 hours in a week. And I have a list of what I say are the non-negotiable activities in life. And some of them are pretty straightforward, like sleeping and eating. So you can't function without those.
Right.
Then there's a couple of other areas, which doesn't include video games or, you know, family reunions. It's really non-negotiable, like tending to your children and managing your money and hygiene, that kind of stuff. It's like that's the content of my non-negotiable list.
Right.
Map that onto how much time does that take in your week, and do the math. Of the 168 hours in a week, how much does that non-negotiable list take? And I've had people who have left over 3 hours and left over 60 hours. So, and by the way, the people with the 60 hours left over don't necessarily get more done than the people with the 3.
Right.
So, broad spectrum of people take the classes, and you know, I'm going to say one person misunderstood the content of the class and so was not satisfied, but everybody else is really delighted with how quickly And I'm going to almost say it's not necessarily my process, although it is.
Right.
But it's mostly that I'm leveraging this incredible capacity of the human brain to learn.
Mm-hmm.
If you set it to a particular task, if you train your brain to worry, it gets better at worrying. If you train your brain to concentrate, it gets better at concentrating. If you juggle, there's connections that your brain makes between visual acuity and
mm-hmm.
you know, spatial skills. So your brain is always growing and learning.
So maybe I should take up juggling.
You know what you should take up is ping pong.
Really?
It's literally the number one brain trainer. It includes so many skills, overall body skills.
Mm-hmm.
It's highly recommended by the woman who wrote this book that I can't remember the title of right now, but ping pong, big for the brain, big for the development.
Well, I like ping pong, and it takes a lot less effort than tennis, so I'm in.
Yeah, go for it. So
what? And you said you have three separate modules. Did I hear that correctly? Over 6 months.
I have a program that I offer for the general public. I just wanted to make sure. Did I answer the question about the pause button?
Yeah, I think I got. You know, I think you're really basically saying take a deep breath and think about what you're doing and you stop and reflect.
Yeah, and then there was a little something about autopilot that you wanted to know.
Yeah, the autopilot. We can come back to that in a minute. I just want to get the idea of. I'm just trying to get a sense of the structure of how you work. So you have these classes that last. How many weeks did you say?
Anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks per module. I have a core curriculum for
mm-hmm.
the general public, which is three modules.
Right.
About 8 weeks each. And the first module is called Calendars, Checklists, and Errands, Oh My. So it's a little parody of The Wizard of Oz.
Yes.
And it's really about the mindset. So that is the module in which I start people on the track of developing habits, getting off autopilot, really taking, I'm not going to say granular, but a pretty close look. Like
right.
How they spend their time under a microscope, strictly for the purpose of awareness. You know, starting to embrace some different values, hitting that pause button, and then the second module is about structures. It's called schedule structures and spaces,
mm-hmm.
and that's really about now that you stand a chance of actually bringing appropriate habits to bear. Now we can talk about how to develop filing systems, how to look out at your environment and begin to declutter. But really for the purpose of catching up like once and for all
mm-hmm.
and giving yourself that blank slate for maintenance.
So your system is definitely not for somebody who wants like an instant fix. This is like for a commitment to really make a transformation. Would that be accurate?
For a sustainable change.
Mm-hmm.
Instant fix is I come to your house and I spend a couple days and we go through closets and drawers and straighten everything out and, you know, kind of do the drag in the heavy equipment and power
right.
through the rubble. If you want to be somebody who can have drop-in guests at any time, who gets the reports done on time, who is a great entrepreneur, consistently keeping your word, reliable,
mm-hmm.
somebody who can go out there and volunteer, who's got the time to volunteer in the community and do things you love and take vacations and all that, then this is the course for you because it is teaches you how to be self-reliant that way.
And now, what's your structure? Is this in person? Do you do this? How do you do your courses?
Oh, it's great. It's via webinar.
Mm-hmm.
So people can just sit in the comfort of their home at the computer, and it's a live webinar.
Mm-hmm.
So it's interactive. It's about once a week. You know, there's some spots where there's a couple week break. But it, what's also great about that is compared to a book, a magazine, television show, it's got this accountability structure built in. So, you know, you're not just out there on your own. You're not gathering more information and sending it up to the warehouse, and some of it is a good idea, and some of it, most of it, you forget like that.
Right.
About being on the court, doing the assignments in between the sessions,
mm-hmm.
learning, coming back, having something to say, listening to the other people, finding out what they learned about it, and then getting new material and going out there and practicing and coming back. So it's fun as well. So it's got this accountability structure.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to use. It's interactive. You get personal attention from me throughout the program. So, really, the value of that, to have a professional organizer come to your home, is probably about anywhere from $100 to $150 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And they're going to do. I could work wonders at your house, but I'd rather work wonders and not have to come back. I'd like to make myself obsolete so that you're learning how to do it yourself.
You would be like Dr. McCoy if you got to my house. You'd be going, you know, damn it, Andrew, I'm an organizer, not a miracle worker.
Oh, listen, Andrew, I've been in homes where I'm thinking to myself, you should blow it up and start over. But nonetheless, I believe in the human spirit.
So it's hope
and I can
for
be a bit of a spot for myself.
You
it's, you know, fascinating. Let's get to work.
So now, what's the distinction between what you're doing for what you say the general public and then for the entrepreneur?
Well, great question. The thing about the entrepreneur program is, to start with, it's not really different. In the beginning stages of the entrepreneur program, the entrepreneur program is a 12-week program, and entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, small business people, we can't really extract you personally from the commodity. So we do begin with the personal approach. We do begin with all those same principles of getting you back to the one-to-one ratio, which, by the way, is really this amazing thing of getting your to-do list to be a match for available time.
Now that would be something.
Yes, I know. That's crazy talk.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, time is pretty scientific.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to do with this, with the sun and the earth rotating around
right.
it and night and day, and, you know, it's pretty concrete. There's not a lot of malleability there.
Mm-hmm.
So where we really have to look is the to-do list. That's where most people get into trouble.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, again, another aspect of the work that I do with people in all my work, in all my modules, and my private clients as well. So, but we're entrepreneurs. There's the foundation of personal maintenance habits, and then there's a very precise way to delineate. I call it the IQ test, domains for action. So if you're an entrepreneur, you have various domains for activities, major domains of activities in your business, which is administration, finance, marketing, new business development, website and content. What's your actual work product? For me, it's delivery and consulting. For some people, it's child care. For some people, it's dog walking. For some people, it's, you know, coaching.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your work product? And then how are you distributing your time throughout that 168 hours in a week to each of those? So you want to play to your strengths, but you also may find that you avoid things you're either not good at or don't like to do. And how do we shift your point of view about that? And how do we have you move into a routine so that it just gets done? Because routines, while people fight them and resist them, they are the one thing that will eliminate forgetting, resistance, and drama. My definition of drama,
okay,
is not necessarily a meltdown or making a scene. Drama is, unfortunately, what a lot of people call life. We've come to expect being upset about forgetting something, missing an opportunity, missing an occasion, losing something. There's tension between people. There's broken promises, negative self-assessments. That's all drama, in my opinion.
And what is it that you do about this drama that clears up?
You get your life sorted out. You get yourself. I have people do some exercises that really has them delineate what you've got drama,
mm-hmm.
what recurring activity would eliminate it. What could you do on a regular basis to prevent losing something? What could you do on a regular basis to prevent getting home from the grocery store and having now 12 jars of mayonnaise and no ketchup? We call it a grocery list. So,
right.
You know, it's just simple
yeah,
stuff.
Absolutely.
It's not rocket science. So when it comes to the entrepreneur, we work first on the foundation of personal habits.
Mm-hmm.
We move into what are the activities that are required overall to have you have a viable growing business. And the entrepreneur program includes business plans, marketing, financials, what I call the guru corner, because there's, 3,000 titles on business management, and I'm kind of, I'm starting to fancy myself a curator of
mm-hmm.
that sort of information and material. I'm like the Cliff Notes, so I scour books. I mean, I have a huge library of not just business books, but organization books on brain science and how to say no, and marketing, and just lots and lots and lots of material that I've gathered over the decades.
I have a very similar bookcase, you might say.
Yeah, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. So with the entrepreneurs, I really work with them to do a bit of Kaizen about business planning, an easier way to have continuous, slow, gradual improvement, an easier way to look at your, what are you selling? How are you talking about it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it compelling? What is your marketing mix? What are your financial targets? How are you pricing things? But it all gets worked in over the 12 weeks.
Right.
And I have to say that generally speaking, the results of my programs sneak up on people.
What do you mean by that?
You know, it's, you do a little bit of this and a little bit of that, and you gather that information, and you start to put that into effect, and you look at your schedule this way, and you do this exercise, and then all of a sudden people find themselves, like, getting more done and being relaxed. And, you know.
Yeah, look at me. I'm dancing.
Yes, exactly.
Now, one of the things I like to try to find is I call leveraging my time wherever it's possible.
Mm.
Like, for example, I don't do laundry. I haven't done laundry in many, many years,
mm-hmm.
unless I'm on vacation at my dad's and I have to do laundry. But I send my laundry out. That's time I don't want to spend.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your feeling about, especially for entrepreneurs who may have some resources into things like, you know, staff or help or interns or virtual assistants or something?
Well, I think that there's obviously, for some people, there's financial constraints to what they can delegate, so people who can't afford staff are sending their laundry out.
Right.
But I don't think there should really be a limit. I think that you can become creative about what you can barter for, you know, how you can create a community around you. One of the chief things that Jim Collins talks about in Good to Great is you got to build the right team. And probably that's the number one flaw with entrepreneurs is they try to be solo artists.
Right.
Michael Gerber in the E-Myth talks about it in terms of are you a technician or a manager or an entrepreneur?
Mm-hmm.
If you're a technician, you're doing everything. If you're a manager, at least you're getting it done through other people. But for me, I encourage people to start to explore, and people got a million stories about it, or, you know, 100 reasons why they can't or shouldn't and what they're afraid of and, you know, proprietary information and
mm-hmm.
things of that nature.
You remember the book we all read as a child, Huckleberry Finn?
Yes.
And Whitewashing the Fence.
Right.
That was the ultimate delegation of leadership.
Well, yeah, you don't have to be, you know, to trick people into different things.
Well, I do carry an apple core for these special, you know, occasions.
Yeah, you could be compelling, you know,
yes.
And authentic. Like, everybody has something to share. Everybody has something of value.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes simply asking for help works too. You know, it doesn't have to be barter or monetary, because as Anne Frank said, fundamentally people are good.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree. I agree that, in fact, one of the things that I talk about in my modules is everything that you're getting done, does it have to be done by you? Does it have to be done in the way in which you're doing it? Are the consequences that you're, you know, beating the clock about, are they real? Are they internal? Are they external? Is the scope and severity accurate? When's the last time you hit the pause button and checked? So I think you could tell that a lot of what I have people engage with in the classes is really exploration.
Mm-hmm.
And in the process of that exploration, boy, the discoveries that people make, the freedom that they get, it's incredible what happens if you wake up and you get off autopilot. See, autopilot thinking is a shortcut to thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Autopilot, it's almost like a separate entity that comes in and points out the inconvenience of doing that thing that you thought was so important this morning. And it completely disconnects you to the original purpose and value.
Right.
And it's either going to be you'll do it later.
Mm-hmm.
Watch out. That's a red flag. No time. Super red flag. Can't do everything, so I won't do anything. The all or nothing syndrome.
Mm.
Well, it's got a few different faces, that autopilot. Not a lot. It doesn't take a lot. But I'll tell you what the kryptonite is if you want to know the secret.
Yes.
Question it.
I'm sorry, what's that?
Question it.
Question it.
Don't take that first. You put it on the list.
Mm-hmm.
You said it was important.
Right.
You started as a yes. It should be a red flag. How come now it's not? Curious. Wow, really, I don't have 2 minutes to do that? I don't have 2 minutes to make the bed or floss my teeth? Really? It just, and sometimes you might not, but if you don't
right.
get in the practice of questioning it, it's just going to run you over every time. That's a counterproductive habit.
Wow, this is great.
Yeah, everything about personal organization boils down to a habit. And I'll give away another piece. Habits can be learned. If you think about a habit that you now either always do
mm-hmm.
or always don't do, because they're both the same, habits include what you get done and what you don't get done. You've got a habitual aversion to the things that you don't get done.
Right.
So, starts out, you know, random and occasional activity, because
mm-hmm.
at some point you're doing it or you weren't doing it. So you either randomly and occasionally started doing it or stopped doing it. Experienced a benefit or no consequence. You increased the frequency. Repeat, repeat, repeat.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a habit. That's all it comes down to.
Do you believe in that that old saying that it takes 21 days to make or break a habit?
No.
Okay.
It's nonsense. It is nonsense.
Okay.
It's utter and complete fluff. You give me 6 months to a year, you've got a new habit. Dedicated 6 months to a year. That's why I encourage people to stay. That's why my core curriculum is 6 months. My entrepreneur program is two 3 month programs. 6 months. It's fantasy to think that you're going to turn decades of habits around in 21 days.
Mm.
And some people, I'm going to say some people have done it, but some people have made $50 million in a day in the stock market. Some people have lost 300 pounds in 6 months. You know, some people
right.
win the lottery. That some people get hit by lightning. It's kind of that statistic.
Right. That's one that has that's one that always has stuck with me from the earliest
mm-hmm.
days of I've ever taken any kind of programs or classes in personal growth. That was one that I remember hearing.
Well, look, it's an excellent start. 21
mm-hmm.
days is a beautiful start. And
yeah.
if you can do something in a dedicated, committed fashion for 21 days, wow, I'm sure it's going to make a difference because you will have learned something.
Right.
Something important. Now, some people read a book. Frankly, when I was 16, I read passages or something like that, or I'm okay, you're okay. It
yeah.
influenced me. It shaped me. It started
sure.
to direct my actions and speaking in a different
mm-hmm.
way. So I'm not saying that it can't happen, but I'm responding to it in terms of, you know, let's say 30 to 50-year-old person who is struggling with this either loss of mojo, you know, they really want to be organized, they're interested in it, but they're overwhelmed. It's work, it's kids, it's health, it's, you know, school, it's all that stuff. You get into a groove that is so ingrained, and that's actually bolstered by circumstances around you that it's even harder to break out of. That it's difficult. You're gonna you'll fly back unless you've really got a good game, a good visual display, a good, you know, community around you that's gonna support you. So that's what I say about 21 days.
Yeah,
okay.
I would have to say the support system is always going to be very important. Whenever you have support around you, it's going to likely help you to continue whatever what you're doing, especially if people can say, hey, I see you're not doing what you were doing. What's going on?
Yeah. Yep. You know, and there's ways to set up, you know, what you could call a committed listener, somebody
mm-hmm.
who you want to hold you to account, so that it's not a reprimand, you know, so that it's
right.
really like, oh, okay. And that's what I have people do in the classes. It's really, please, you did the assignment, you didn't do the assignment. Where did you stop? Because what we're dealing with is this autopilot. So
mm-hmm.
And people have expectations. And it's one of the things I say in the first session of every class is manage your expectations. We all are card-carrying members of the I Want to Be Perfect Club.
Yep.
And, you know, it's so not new. William Shakespeare said there is nothing so common as the desire to be, you know, special. As the desire to be remarkable is the exact quote.
Remarkable. Mm.
Yep. There's nothing so common as the desire to be remarkable. So, I do a whole bunch more work on like a brief history of evolution and how our brains are put together, and I really cite a lot of references from Stanford University does a course on willpower, and there's books on procrastination. There's lots and lots of incredibly wonderful scientific studies that show how really simply human it is to be distractible and procrastinate, and how we make our decisions and so forth. So it's a pretty rich conversation in the classes, and I think that it draws from so many areas, and it's unique. If I say so myself, it's
and you
unique.
Do. I would love to hear if you have any really interesting success stories that you are able to share. If there's anything that you would really like to regale me with.
You know, I have many, many people who the success stories are kind of simplistic, but profound for each and every person. Someone called me the other day. She was in tears. Oh, do you have a minute? I said, sure. And she said, oh my God. She said, I'm keeping to my schedule. She said, I'm writing things down. And she said, it's not just sometimes. I'm just triumphing over autopilot. I have the thought. I don't want to. I'm not going to. And then I do it anyway. And I'm doing all the things that are important to me. I'm exercising. I'm doing my art. I'm, you know, selling my products. I'm out there talking to people, and I just, as my schedule says it, I'm doing it. Blah, 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 you know.
Wow, that's great.
It is great. It is great. You know, and she said, oh, and I don't know if it's some divine intervention and if it's, you know, something, some magic. And I said, look, you've done the work. She's been with me for almost a year. And I said, let's take the mystery out of it. Why have it be mysterious? That means it's not replicatable. You've
right.
done the work. You've been interested. You've been engaged.
Mm-hmm.
You reviewed module one. You took a break. You came back. You're in the entrepreneur program. You've stayed in the conversation for autopilot, maintenance, scheduling, and poof, it's like working out. You know, you start out, man, you don't want to. Boy, it's annoying. Oh, it hurts. Oh, it's, you know, you're sweating. It doesn't feel good. You're stiff, all that stuff. And then at some point, you're like, wow, this is easy. Wow, look at this. It's just like that.
Yeah.
Most of the success stories that I have are people who just kept throwing themselves on the rock, you know, people who just said, I can't do it. I don't know what you're talking about. What is this? You know, I have them do domains for action. I have them color-coded. I have them create a template. I have them track what they actually do. And, you know, it's crazy-making. Don't fence me in. I can't. You know, they go nuts. And they finally get the freedom of having the stuff complete, the stuff that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Complete and done, and still time left over. Oh, my goodness, shocking. So, you know, it's mostly been people who have struggled with the structure of it.
Right.
And the learning of and the ingraining of the habit, and to a person, it's just been miraculous for what it allows them to get done, what they now have time for. You know, way back last year, I had a woman who was so completely overwhelmed, and I just did some schedule work with her, and she was able to get everything done she needed to get done, and she scheduled 4 vacations. And took them. So it's perspective is a big piece of the picture.
Mm-hmm.
You think you have no time. My point is it influences what you will get done and what you won't get done. What you don't get done
Yes.
What you don't get, I'm just trying to think about the simplest way to say it.
Okay.
What you don't get done leaves you feeling that you have even less time.
Not a good feeling.
Yeah. So if you start out not doing things because you don't have time, and then those things pile up. Like I have a little stick figure cycle that I do in my slideshow, which is, you know, you have counterproductive habits, then you create build-up and pile-ups, which become distractions in themselves, and then it reinforces the need for autopilot, no time, do it later, can't do everything, won't do anything, and that becomes a vicious cycle until you get overwhelmed, tear your hair out, drag out the heavy equipment, power through the rubble, think you have a fresh start, and then you're like, you have a breath of fresh air, so you can like, oh, I don't have to do anything. So, you know, it begins the counterproductive habit again. So
why don't you tell us, like, what's up next for you?
What's up next, you mean in terms of my programs?
Yeah, what's going on?
Well, let me look. I've actually got two programs coming up in the fall. By fall, I mean September.
And for those of you listening in the future, September 2012.
Yes.
Okay.
September 2012. I have a module one, which is my general public.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who's interested in really impacting their personal effectiveness, productivity, satisfaction, and so forth. I have four options, and the way it works is this. So I have module one opening on September 10th. But I have a Monday at 9 p.m., I have a Thursday at noon, a Thursday at 6 p.m., a Saturday at 12. So people can select one of those, whatever's
mm-hmm.
most convenient. They register for that, and then that series has six sessions that end sort of towards the end of October. Did you want to know pricing or anything like that?
Well, if you'd like to talk about that, you're welcome to.
Okay. Right now, this current series for the public general public module one is $280,
mm-hmm.
and I do have a payment plan, which is pretty convenient. And I also have a entrepreneur program opening up on September 11th. And again, I have a Tuesday at 8:30, a Wednesday at 6, a Saturday at 8 in the morning for those early risers.
Mm-hmm.
The super busy. Now that is going up. Right now it's an amazing, amazing $320.
Mm.
I mean, it's just incredibly underpriced, and it's going up to still underpriced, but I want to give people access to it, and I know not every entrepreneur, you know, there's some programs out there that are like $1,400, $1,500 a day.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, it's Seth Godin is $1,600 a day for a three-day program.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if he does anything better than I do, frankly. So it's going to go up to $400 on September 1st with a generous payment plan, which costs
mm-hmm.
a little bit more. But for anybody who's listening to this program, and this will be going onward in the future, you can register. I can't do a discount code, but if you register and send me an email that you registered and say and reference Coach Andrew, I will give you a 5% discount of any price that's currently posted.
Wow, thank you so much. That's very generous of you. So those of you listening at any time, who are interested in taking advantage of that, just mention my name, Coach Andrew or Coach's Corner, when you send an email to Kathleen.
All right. Well, I hope that I've shared some useful information.
Yes, you have. You've got a lot of useful information. You're making my mind do all sorts of tricks and jumps right now, thinking how, where can I go to? I don't mean besides just going to your class. I mean where? What are some of the things I need to start looking at? And the pause button is really attractive to me right now.
Yes. Try it out. You'll just find it to be, if you can earmark like 45 minutes to an hour each week and just make it sacred and look at your schedule and what you want to accomplish and see, just get complete about the previous week. What didn't you get done? But be a scientist about it. How come? What do you need to do differently? How could you adjust your schedule? But should you be making those sales calls at night? Are you low energy? Maybe you should be doing it in the morning when you're high energy, like that. I mean, it's really not rocket science.
Mm-hmm.
But if you stop and if you hit the pause button, you will be able to think. And a big part of the problem today, Andrew, is people don't have the think. They don't have the time to think. But that's autopilot talking.
Right. Now, do you have, I know you have a website.
Mm-hmm.
Which I announced before, but I'll let you do it now.
Sure. It's www.lifesmithu.com, LIFESMITH, like crafting your life, lifesmith, the letter U.com. And you'll see information about, a little bit more info about me and a little bit more information and the full schedule for all the curriculum, as well as testimonials.
Do you have any kind of a newsletter or anything like that?
Not at this time, but I will be opening that up shortly. So
okay. If
you're interested in the newsletter, I don't have a email entry site right now, but the contact, go to the website and contact me and say I'd be interested in a newsletter so that I can capture your email information and I'll be happy to send it to you. Should be out no later than the beginning of October.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Okay, great. So I think we've pretty much covered the gamut, as they say.
Yes.
With a gamut, if depending on where you're from. No, I'm just an excellent job. Yes, an excellent job. So I want to thank you very much, Kathleen Day, for being with me for this hour. And I know that I've learned a lot from you. I'm sure my audience has learned a lot from you and will be learning a lot from you, those who are not listening live at this time, in August of 2012. And so, again, I thank you so very much. And we will be back here next week on Coach's Corner, and I look forward to having another great show. Thanks again, and we'll see you next week. Good night.